Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service.
Well, as the kids are making their way out, I wanted to introduce myself. My name is Miriam Ryan, and I am our pastor for community discipleship. And just wanted to use that as an opportunity to let you know that kind of as we regroup for the summer, that a lot of our discipleship ministries and small groups and Bible studies are going to be relaunching. And so if you're interested in getting involved in community here, I would love to talk to you more. So please feel free to come introduce yourself to me anytime. Well, wanted to let you know, when I was in the third grade, my family moved from Southern California to Portland, Oregon, which we soon discovered was a 16-hour drive to go home and visit our family. So about twice a year, my family would pack ourselves up in our two-tone blue Dodge van. I think I have a picture of this sweet ride back in the mid-1980s. And I'll pack four kids in this car, and we would take off on this journey. Now, my parents were far too efficient and frugal to consider making this a two-day trip. No, this was going to be a one-day trip, start to finish, 16 hours, as fast as possible. And we quickly learned the best way to make mom mad was to ask to stop for a bathroom break. So you just took sips of water only when you were like completely dehydrated and you couldn't take it any longer, and we just kept going. There was no stops for fast food. Mom packed a cooler with sandwiches because, you know, that would make the trip way too long. And so the one thing, before you're starting to feel too sorry for me, that was pretty exciting about this, it was kind of before we took the seatbelt law very seriously. So my dad built a, like, platform in the back of the van. It was like this wooden platform with a foam mattress so we could at least kind of, like, stretch out a little, play a board game. You know, we had no screens in those days. So, you know, it kind of made the trip somewhat tolerable. But the highlight of the trip was a place that was called the rest stop. And the rest stop, we didn't get to do much resting at this place, but at least we could get out of the car, stretch our legs, and like run wild for like a total of maybe 5-10 minutes max before we were ordered back into the car to complete our mission to on our trip. Well, we're continuing in our summer series as we've been exploring some of the different places along biblical journeys. We have looked at the river, the mountain, and the valley, and today we are taking a look at the rest stop. And as I was reflecting on my experience with rest stops growing up, it was somewhat symbolic of how a lot of us interact with this idea of rest. Rest is often seen as a nuisance. Something that keeps us from being efficient. We have things to get done. Who has time or space to rest? Some of us resist rest just like children resist naps. Even when our bodies desperately need it, we still say, "I don't want a nap." Some of us push ourselves so hard that we go to the point of burnout before we will take a break. Rest is then forced upon us where we collapse physically and emotionally exhausted. Well, studies have shown that a lack of rest, it's linked to burnout, mood disorders, increased anxiety, memory issues, fatigue, and a host of health problems. Yet, many of us still do not prioritize the rest that our bodies and souls need. The model that Jesus sets for us shows us that the rest stop is actually an essential part of the journey of faith. And so let's turn to our scripture passage this morning where we see Jesus inviting his disciples to rest. But before we do this, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, would you open our eyes to see rest in a new light, as an invitation to be with you, to receive from you, and to embrace our identity as your beloved children. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Mark 6, 30 through 32. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I thought it might be helpful to provide a little context about what was happening before this scripture passage we just read. Jesus had just sent the disciples out two by two, where they were going into different villages and preaching and teaching and healing the sick and even casting out demons. So what I would imagine, they have some crazy stories to share with Jesus as they're regrouping to kind of debrief all that has been happening. In addition to that, they just learned that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And so I would imagine they're in a state of grief. They're grieving the loss of a friend. They are also probably fearful for their own futures. What does it look like for their own personal safety in this risk of following Jesus if this had just happened to John? And so this is the space that they're in. They're emotionally exhausted. They're sad. They're anxious. And they're hungry. Do you remember it said they didn't eat? They're so busy they didn't even have time to eat. And seeing this, Jesus invites them to come away with him, come to a quiet place, and get some rest. And Mark tells us that they listened, and they got into a boat, and off they went to a solitary place. We see that Jesus lived and he established a rhythm of rest, both in his own life, and then this rhythm that he is inviting his disciples to join him in. He invites them to rest because clearly they need it in this space. But we see that this rhythm, it was just a part of his regular life that fueled his life and ministry. In Luke 5:16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Mark 1:35 tells us that Jesus got up very early in the morning and he went off while it was dark to a solitary place for prayer as well. Another time he went up into the mountains and spent the entire night in prayer. We see him retreating into the wilderness, into the mountains, into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he intentionally carved out space for rest and connection with his Father. This was his pattern. He set it for the disciples, and he invited them to join him in this as well. Jesus' disciples, he knew that rest is this priority for Jesus, but they are extended an invitation to join Jesus, to spend time with Jesus in this time of rest. And I think sometimes we forget that in our own experiences of rest, that rest is an invitation to be with Jesus. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Do you ever notice that sometimes when we feel both physically exhausted and depleted, this is also a time where we start to feel spiritually depleted? There's a connection between resting and being with Jesus, which begs the question for all of us today: what is preventing you from responding to Jesus' invitation to rest? For a lot of us, it's just the relentless pace of our lives. We are so overscheduled, we find ourselves hurrying from thing to thing with little margin. For some of us, maybe it's the need to just feel useful and productive. We may fear things are going to start falling apart if we slow down. Or we prefer doing to being. We prefer action to solitude. For others, rest can be uncomfortable. When we enter into a quiet, restful space, sometimes we have to confront our own inner demons, and that can be quite uncomfortable. We'd rather stay in go mode than face what's really going on inside of us. Maybe for you, you're just not even sure how to do it. Maybe you were raised in a family where it was never even modeled, and you're like, what does it even look like to slow down and rest? Or maybe when you attempt to rest, you just find yourself instead falling into these mindless habits of doom scrolling and binge watching that you don't tap into that restorative rest, that kind of rest that helps recharge us spiritually, restore our souls, and reconnect us with the Lord. Well, what is it for you? In her book, Soul Feast, Marjorie Thompson talks about our cultural understanding of rest, which is work, work, work until you need a vacation, and then get back to work. And she makes a distinction between the model, this model, and then Jesus's model, which is a sacred rhythm that comes out of Sabbath time or a regular rhythm of rest, which actually leads to a greater sense of vocation. And vocation is when our life and our work is fueled from resting in Jesus. And we start to develop a greater sense of meaning and purpose in our work, rather than rest just being something that we do when we've worked so hard that we have nothing left. Do you see the difference? How one fuels the other versus one being a reaction to overwork in our lives. Well, the rest that Jesus offers us, it's more than a vacation and just a break from all our toil. Instead, it becomes a foundation, a fueling station, if you will, which becomes an ongoing source of life and strength and connection with Jesus. It becomes the place where the Lord restores our souls and gives us continued strength for the journey, where we're reminded of our purpose and our identity. And the more we start to get a taste for this kind of rest, the more we desire it. But sometimes it takes a little bit of work to just get started. So how do we do it? It's much easier said than done. We need to start by creating some sort of rhythm of rest in our lives. Well, I am not a musician like Ryan, but I did play the piano until I was in college, so I know some basic things about rhythms. There's simple rhythms like a waltz, which is 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And then there's more complex rhythms like jazz that has these polyrhythms that kind of go in and out, and they're improvised and they change over time. And so as you think about a rhythm, I don't want you to think about a set kind of legalistic pattern that can never be broken, but rather, rhythms are things in our lives that have a pace that keep us going, but they also can morph over time. But the point is to try something that hopefully has some staying power in your life, so you begin to experience the benefits of rest in your life. And so we often have, you know, the scripture recommends a weekly rhythm. It's often called the Sabbath, that it was recommended that one day in seven that we set aside some time for rest. Now, Jesus was not legalistic about how Sabbath was to be observed, and we should not be either. However, so we've kind of gotten to the place where there's so much grace in our lives that we just completely ignore that this is one of the Ten Commandments. And they often say it's maybe even the most frequently ignored commandment that we have. But there should be a sense that we have a weekly rhythm, that we set aside some time for worship and some rest. In our Habits of the Household class that we did a few months ago, we got together with some families that talked about some different ways to even incorporate this into family life. Or maybe there's a special meal together, or even inviting another family to join you and having a spiritual conversation or some time set aside for prayer. There are lots of ways to do this. Maybe it's just setting aside a couple hours where you're just gonna spend some intentional time in leisure and in connection with God. One caveat I would give with rhythms is the first is to not get discouraged if you start trying a rhythm and then you find it doesn't quite go the way that you want. This is very much a part of life and a part of the spiritual journey. And one thing I wanted to point out in the particular scripture passage that we just read is this actually happens to Jesus. What I didn't read is what came right after Jesus invited them. They went on the boat and they get to the solitary place. So I wanted to pick up to show you verses 32 and 33. It says, so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Well, look what happens right after. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And then what comes next is the feeding of the 5,000. They have nothing to eat, and so Jesus gets, you know, the fish and the loaves and feeds this crowd. So what I loved about this passage is, even for Jesus, it did not go completely according to plan, right? He's inviting them away to rest, and now they're doing this crazy miracle with all these people. However, the point was that rhythms are flexible, right? They should never get in the way of compassion. You know, as you have a family life, maybe it's your kid that's going to interrupt your time in solitude, right? That Jesus had a rhythm that allowed for compassion or a response to somebody who was in need. And therefore, it was something he could then pick up and do at another time as well. So I think it's important for us to remember that, as so often we get discouraged. We try something out and the first thing that happens is something in our schedule causes it to be thwarted and then it kind of derails us. But this is just part
to life. When we get derailed, we just pick up and we try again, or we establish a new rhythm.
Well, we have weekly rhythms, but there are also daily rhythms. And some of you may already have a daily rhythm that is working for you. I encourage you to talk to other people. What kind of daily rhythms do they have about connecting with the Lord? Sometimes those are the best ideas that come from somebody else is reading a devotional, or they have a prayer practice that's been meaningful to them. We can learn from one another as we try to develop these habits in our lives. But I wanted to share with you three different daily practices that you might want to experiment with this summer. I'm somebody who likes to try new things in my spiritual life. It sometimes makes it have a new sense of life. And so these are just three simple practices that you might want to try. The first one is called Take 10. And it's simply to set aside 10 minutes a day to spend with the Lord however you would like. You could use a prayer app. You could sit in silence, you can read a devotional, but 10 minutes. It's amazing how long sometimes when you set that timer, 10 minutes can feel, and at the same time, how restorative setting aside simply 10 minutes can be in your spiritual life. The second practice is what I'm going to call a wonder walk, and this one came from kind of an unlikely source. My son Connor is working at the gym Lifetime, so if any of you work out there, go wave at him. He's working in the cafe there, but they sent us this magazine that's kind of a health and fitness magazine, and there was an article on the cover that caught my eye, and it said this: in search of glimmers, how micro moments of awe can boost your mood. So I decided to take a look at this. We all know what triggers are. Triggers are things in our lives that spark anxiety and fear, but the author said that the opposite of triggers are glimmers, and these are things that spark joy and peace in our lives. And the suggestion that she had was to notice more glimmers was to take a wonder walk. And this was taking about 15 minutes to go for a walk and mindfully notice some of the things around you that spark a sense of awe or wonder for you. As I was looking at this, I thought it was so encouraging to see that even just secular practices remind us of the restorative practice, a restorative condition of our souls that comes from just taking some space to notice the wonder of God's creation around us everywhere. This article had a study that said people who did this for 8 weeks showed that they experienced greater feelings of joy and positive emotions and less daily stress. Isn't that great? And so you might make something a wonder walk into a spiritual practice by talking to the Lord as you're going about that walk, or seeing the beauty of God's creation and giving thanks. I have to tell you, this is something that I've been trying personally, just taking my little dog for a walk each day, and it's amazing how just in a few short minutes, it really can fill you with a sense of peace and a reminder of God's presence. Well, the third and final suggestion is to take a digital detox. This is a hot topic that we are hearing more and more about how all of the media we are consuming is impacting our minds and our bodies and our ability to rest. We are so bombarded by messages. Our minds are so stimulated by constant dopamine hits from social media and all the things, that another spiritual practice you might take is just simply to create some space and take a break from it. I have a friend that her Sabbath practice is actually, she turns off her phone for 24 hours. That sounds a little bit crazy for most of us, but maybe you could take one day a week where you don't look at social media, or you take on your Sabbath, you just put your device aside for a couple of hours to just give yourself some space to rest and be freed from all the messages that are coming at us constantly. So those are three just practical suggestions that you might want to experiment with this summer, or maybe there's something else that you would like to try. But I encourage you, if you try any of these things, share it with somebody. Tell somebody on staff or share it with somebody here in the Kairos community. Spiritual rhythms thrive in community. Maybe you could even invite somebody else to take on a practice with you. And this is another way that we can continue to live into our church's mission to encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. Well, this past week, I woke up on Tuesday morning with the words to a song running through my head. This rarely, if ever, happens to me. But the words to the song that Ryan just sang before the sermon, Build My Life, were just running through my head over and over. The line where it says, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. And as I was reflecting on those words, it struck me that that truly is the invitation to rest. That is exactly what we're doing when we choose to rest. We're building our lives on the firm foundation of God's love. We're saying, this is where I start. This is my firm foundation. This is my source. This is a place where I receive what I need to live a life that's not going to be shaken by the barrage of bad news, anxiety, and stress that's thrown at us each and every day. When we rest, we're acknowledging that our identity, it's not established by what we do or how much we accomplish, how successful we are, or even how many friends we have, but rather our identity comes from being grounded in the firm foundation of God's love for us. We are God's beloved simply because that is who God says we are, and we rest in that place. I love this quote by Lynn Babb. She says, "Only in stopping, really stopping, do we teach our hearts and souls that we are loved apart from what we do." Let's be people who respond to Jesus' invitation to rest and receive our identity as his beloved. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this invitation to rest, Lord, where we can rest on that firm foundation of your love. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us creativity to find ways to enter into that space that you invite us into. And would we, as we do, experience the ways that you restore our souls, fill us with your joy and peace, and help renew us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.